It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's not really that hot. Must be global warming. And we got Heidi Byrick, my favorite. She's my special project. She's director of special projects at the Southern Poverty Law Center. And today we're going to talk about I think we'll get to immigration. What do you think, Heidi? You think we'll talk about some immigration?
Ernie, whatever you want to do, it's your show.
That's what I want to do. I want to do. We'll get into your list later, how everybody I know is on the list except me, but we'll get to that later. So the one thing that I want to do, though, is that, you know, we probably got some overlap on this immigration thing. I don't know how much you've been keeping track of what we've been doing here in Arizona.
I've been paying attention to SB 1070, Sheriff Arpaio, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let me tell you what happened. I'm going to New Hampshire to speak at the Liberty Forum. I leave on a Friday. That morning, I have Russell Pierce, the sponsor of that bill, on Senate, Arizona State Senate letterhead, declaring me a domestic terrorist. Okay?
You a domestic terrorist.
I know. So I go with those stripes. So what happens is that the reason was, is the a couple of days before when this came up for the original vote, I sent out an email. I have, you know, a pretty good list and so on, a lot of legislators, a lot of politicos, a lot of, you know, media and so on, and on Freedoms Phoenix. And we sent it out and pointed out that in this legislation, what it really is national ID. Because when you're checking somebody's papers, what are you checking them against? And in the legislation, they said, no, it's not national ID. The heck, it's not. No, it's not. All right, pray tell, how in the heck are you defending this legislation as not being national ID when it turns over all of the state data to Homeland Security? I don't know what your view on that is, Heidi, but us libertarians, we're none too pleased about that, okay?
Shockingly, we might be on the same side on something, Ernie.
So what happened, I knew we'd find love for each other. Now, what happened was, is that we made a big deal out of this, and this was their argument. It's not national ID because in the legislation, it prevents any municipality from passing any legislation on the state, local, federal, any level, county, nobody can pass any kind of legislation that would prevent the transfer of the data, but it doesn't require it.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, tangled webs all over the place. So I'm going, okay, that's your story. All right, I just want to make sure everybody knows this. Well, we did. We're going, look, man, this is what's really going on here. Well, of course, it put it off for like 3 or 4 weeks. All of a sudden, nobody wants to touch it. They want to hold off. It gave the opposition time to rally. The national media started getting in. Russell Pierce got really mad at me, which I've had on my show many times. I know him well. And I'm going, man, don't be sitting there, you know, lying to me, man, because I'll give you what for. So he just freaked out and said, Ernie's a domestic terrorist for bringing this up. Did not address the accuracy of what I brought up.
Why is he calling you a domestic terrorist?
Because I delayed the vote on that bill initially by a few weeks because we let people know that it really was a backdoor national ID.
Sounds like hyperbole. I thought Timothy McVeigh was a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, it's not, you know, what they call you, it's who calls you. So, you know, it's so, and that's, you know, I put you in that boat, you know. So here we have a situation to where it's so bad. Now, I'll tell you another story. Here's a good story. You like this. My daughter-in-law is having her second child. A year ago, in August, we had our first granddaughter. She's pregnant again. A grandson's coming in August. Her mother is a baby delivery nurse at a maternity hospital in Tempe. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're 4th of July, happens to be her birthday, my daughter-in-law's mother. So her birthday, we're celebrating, going out in the front, seeing the fireworks, you know, blah, 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 and having a good time. And she happens to mention, she goes, you know, I was born on the 4th of July. But nobody at our hospital, the maternity hospital in Tempe, not a single mother is in there delivering. And I go, what? Why? She goes, Sheriff Arpaio. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. Ours is the lowest price. It's $400 to go have a baby there.
Right. Well,
but, of course, it's subsidized, the rest of it, by federal programs, Access, Arizona, all that kind of stuff. So you have a lot of Hispanics that will go there. Well, the problem is the welfare state. I mean, you got me all on that one. You know, take away the subsidy. Heck, it probably will wind up just costing $400 anyway. But the thing is that Arpaio, oh, heck no. We do not want to have anchor babies. We do not want to have illegal immigrants coming and having subsidized cheap baby-making in Arizona. So what do? They send deputies while women are in labor papers, please.
Are you serious? That's kind of creepy, Ernie. I mean, whatever
creepy.
You think about those other things, that's weird, man.
Well, think about it. My daughter-in-law, which happens to be the daughter of one of the nurses at that, does she have to show her ID? Does she? I mean, she's, you know, Norwegian, man. I mean, she's, you know, blonde, lily white alabaster girl.
She could be one of those European immigrants, Ernie. We don't know.
Absolutely. So this is the point that I'm making. I'm going, yeah, oh, yeah, no, that's a, you know, that's fine. But think about it. You got Grandpa Ernie there, and all of a sudden you got the gendarme de la whatever coming in checking IDs while my daughter-in-law's in labor sitting over here. None shall pass as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Right. No, that's really, first of all, congratulations on the baby, but secondly, that is some creepy stuff.
I mean, this is where this goes. People, they want this. Then we have on my producer, Sierra, saying that she's talking to you and you wanted to talk about greening of hate. And I found this to be, first of all, define what that means, the greening of hate. What are you talking about?
Well, it's a report that we're going to put out. We haven't done quite yet. And what it is an attempt, probably less interesting than the immigration stuff we've been talking about, but it's an attempt by anti-immigration groups to recruit environmentalists to their side by saying that it's immigrants who are responsible for destroying the environment. You know, the immigrants are responsible for everything from sprawl to global warming, et cetera, and the way that you've saved the environment in the United States is kick all the immigrants out. So it's a we call it the greening of hate because most of the groups that are doing this are also people who on the side say things like, I really hate the Latinos because they breed too much or because they're dirty or because they're diseased. They tend to have a secondary, you know, sort of, or maybe a primary racist agenda besides the environmental.
Okay. Now, this is why this sparked my interest, okay? Does the name Frosty Wooldridge mean anything to you?
Yeah, he's one of these guys that I'm talking about.
Okay. Frosty is on a bike ride between, he's probably in New Mexico, Texas right now. I left a message on his phone knowing that you were coming on once I saw this greening of hate thing. He was the first person that came to mind. His brother Howard is with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And his brother Frosty writes on Freedom's Phoenix all the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's big anti-immigration, and it all is – and I never read it. Nobody – whatever. You know, Frosty's fine. I have him on the show. He and I duke it out. We don't agree on whatever, you know, fine. But if he gets to call in today, oh, that's going to be good with some, you know, having some Heidi on here, okay? Now, so I called and left a message, but he's on doing a bike ride to save America from illegal immigrants destroying the environment, because that is his mantra. I mean, it is constant. And when I had him on the radio last time, I go, Frosty, I mean, dang, man, who is funding this? You're carrying water for somebody for something. What is this? You can't just focus on this one thing, is that illegal immigration is going to... I go, what happens when I address any of your problems with technology? You know, water. I go, okay, fine. We find zero-point energy. We can desalinate all the water we want. Then what? Well, then we got this environment. They go, okay, then we did this, and we found a material. We didn't. Then what? I mean, if I address every one of your issues with an advancement in technology, it takes that away. Do you still have the same problem with illegal immigrants coming here? Well, he keeps manufacturing more excuses. So that's where you and I kind of probably overlap on this.
That's interesting, actually.
It's just an excuse. It's just a tactic. It's a reason. They're worried about something else. You know,
well, I don't know what, you know, Frosty's, you know, deal is. What I can say is John Tant, the guy who came up with this strategy, his point of view.
Okay, wait. Tell me, you threw out a name there, but don't mean nothing to me. Tell me who the name is, where he's from, what's he do, what's his name?
He is from Petoskey, Michigan. He has founded about 10 or 12 of the major anti-immigration groups. He's someone Frosty would know well. I'm pretty sure they're personal friends. And he started all these groups, and he's the one who decided that, and he's a racist, that if I can get progressives, environmentalists on my side, I will look less racist.
Okay, well, you see where we're going with this. You know, Heidi and I, we may not agree on a lot. They will find out what they are, but man, you know, different perspectives provide new information, and you guys are going to get it. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Or maybe it's the Woo Man, Heidi Byrick from Southern Poverty Law Center. She's going to come around, and she's got a list. Don't you got a list, Heidi?
I got a list, but you're not on it.
Why am I not on it?
You're just not that bad, Ernie. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm just trying to, I wonder what the heck I got to do. I associate with all kinds of bad, evil people on your list. You know, how the heck did Ron Paul make it on your list anyway?
How did he make it on there?
Yeah.
It's all of his rallying against the Fed, for example, his newsletters that had some nasty stuff in them back in the day. I mean, come on, by the definition of patriots, he fits right in there.
Well, you know, let's go through the list here. Just off the top of memory, I don't have it in front of me, but you got Gary Franchi. Okay, I had him on the show yesterday. In fact, he's doing a thing on forced vaccinations and FEMA camps and so on. He's coming to Arizona next week, and I'll be talking to him. He and I were MCs of the Revolution March in Washington, D.C. I've known him for a while. He gets on the list. I don't get on the list. Then you have Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers. He was a speaker at our Freedom Summit this last December. He gets on the list. I don't get on the list. Sheriff Mack, I've known since he was a sheriff back in 94. We've been friends for a long time. He's on the show a lot. He gets on the list. I don't get on the list. I'm Ron Paul Revolution. Guy comes up with the logo, does all that kind of stuff. Ron Paul gets on the list. I'm the Revolution. I don't get on the list. Bob Schultz from We the People goes to Jekyll Island, has the Continental Congress, does all that. I go to Jekyll Island. I don't get on the list. John Stadtmiller on the morning network that I'm on, he's on the list. I'm on his station. I don't get on the list. Chris Broughton, the black young man that had the AR-15, goes to Obama rally and so on. I'm the one that set that up. Have a gun on myself, interviewing him. He gets on the list. I don't get on the list. You start to see a trend here?
We just don't list libertarians. We don't.
I know, you guys. Such chicken craps, man.
You're going to have to start peddling in some serious conspiracy theories, my friend, if you want to get on this list.
Heck, you know, let me tell you what the conspiracy theory is. It's not even a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. There's a conspiracy against my rights. That's what there is, you know. So the thing is, this is the one thing where you can see where we can overlap. I'm always trying to find common ground here. See if we got some common ground. You are against the SB 1070, this immigration law that's here in Arizona, at a fundamental reason because of what?
Well, some of the things that you brought up before, right, about this, we're not going after it on just some kind of national ID thing, but this kind of show your papers thing is dangerous, and we think it's particularly dangerous because there's a racial element to this, whatever the supporters of the bill try to say. It puts people who are brown skin at more risk, basically, from getting screwed by cops, right? And we don't like that. We don't like the parts of the bill as well where it says things like, if your neighbors are making too much noise, you should call it into the state and have the state come and rouse them and check and see if they're here illegally. I mean, that kind of stuff is like, it's creepy.
No, it's right out of freaking Nazi Germany, man.
It is. It's creepy. And, you know, imagine if you're just, you know, whatever, you're a little too loud over there and all of a sudden the cops show up and they are asking where are your papers. This isn't cool.
Well, I need you to be consistent on, you know, if you're going to be advocating for individual rights, and I mean, I need you across the board. You know,
tell me what else I need to be on.
Well, I don't know. I'll think of something here in a second. But, you know, first off, just to be able to complain. I mean, you know, this is what I tell people. Tell me how far off I am.
Okay.
They go like this. They go, you know, well, my daughter, she was asking me about, we were talking about you coming on today. I was talking to some friends, and she's going, what's the Southern Poverty Law Center? What's that about? You know, it's Southern and poverty and law and center. I mean, you know, what does all that mean? And this is how I explained it. I go, well, you know, when the FBI was infiltrating civil rights groups and so on back in the day, they find out in the 70s, the congressmen have hearings and so on, and they said, oh, no, that's bad. You can't do that. Well, Morris Deese and the Southern Poverty Law Center was created and said, hey, that means you're not keeping track of the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazi this and some of the bad guys, so we'll take that on for you. Love you long time. We'll outsource your kind of surveillance, private investigative, and we'll send you a report kind of thing. Okay? So, I mean, how far off am I?
I mean, you have some of what I would say is true. I mean, we did feel like it was important for community groups and others to have, you know, public information about where these groups, dangerous groups are. And
I'm hip, so I'm not far off.
We're using public information. We're using our freedom of speech and our First Amendment rights to put out there. We don't particularly like the cops or the FBI collecting files on people, and Lord knows they went crazy in the 60s, and there were reasons to restrict that. Some of those reasons have been loosened up lately under the Patriot Act provisions, but we think it's a better thing for a nonprofit or private individuals to do that kind of work than rather than have law enforcement do
it.
Yeah,
you want them to have a file as long as it's filled with whatever you send them. Yeah,
well,
who are we kidding here?
What we send them is useful and accurate. You might not think so.
I was on your list in 94 for opening a pack.
I was here in 94. She can't hold me accountable for that.
Yeah, you know, you opened it up. I go, in 1994, there was a group that we created that we just started resurrecting. You go to safegunowners.com. You go to safegunowners.com and you'll see that we're just starting to really, you know, get it back going on Freedom's Phoenix because the NRA, you know, bailed on the First Amendment and they so need to be slapped. So, you know, we go against our own. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Team, we'll take care of the NRA for you because they're not, you know, hardcore enough. So what happens is that SAFE, we did it was to do an initiative to allow for concealed carry in Arizona without a permit. Well, finally, they passed that. Here in Arizona, now you can carry a concealed weapon without a permit. Well, that's because we've been working a long time, 15 years hammering on this thing, and it finally gets through. So what happened was we created SAFE. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you safe gun owner or unsafe gun owner? We did that as a political action committee in support of the initiative because you have to, by the state law, you had to go create a pack. So when we did that, it got Southern Poverty Law Center goes, oh, these guys are militia. You know what? It was me. And I didn't even own a gun at the time. I did not even own a gun. And I get a call from Sheriff Arpaio saying, hey, Ernie, you made the list. Because Arizona starts with A, the top of the freaking list that's sent out to every county sheriff, all law enforcement across the nation. Southern Poverty Law Center, Ernest Hancock's on top of the list.
Wasn't there. I don't know what to say.
So I'm, no, this kind of, so of course I know.
I thought you wanted to be on the list.
Well, the point that I'm making is that, you know, the criteria for getting on the list is kind of, you know, runs a little low and it's inconsistent. So
well,
I'm going, Dr. Paul gets
like
on it,
and
I don't.
I can't speak to 94. You got to cut me some slack here.
No,
I can speak to this list.
Okay,
and
Ron Paul.
There's a reason why we aren't putting people on the list just because they believe in Second Amendment rights. It's just, we don't do it.
Ron Paul. And then we have the Oath Keeper guys. Why them? They're a bunch of law enforcement.
Yeah, well, I'm going to differ with you greatly here. I think the Oath Keepers are a real problem. First of all, they've had now three members get involved in some serious incidents, you know, ending up in, you know, they're going to end up with pretty big prison terms.
Out of how many?
One was going to take over a town. So it's not a joke. Some of these guys have gone a bit off the rails.
Well,
here.
I think that guy maybe should be on your list, but not the group. That's like saying Democrats should be on the list.
I think I said this before when I was on here. You know, we list people based on ideology, not based on criminal violence, even though a lot of the groups, especially on the hate group list, not the patriot group list, end up, you know, having violent members or people who commit violence. But in the Patriot one, we are looking for conspiracies, and I think I've told you before, this is, you know, this FEMA camp thing is one that we think is ridiculous and take seriously. I know you don't. I mean, I know you're, you know, with these guys on these ideas. the New World Order business. Those are the kinds of things we're looking for. And the Oath Keepers say all kinds of weird things about how they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that, they're not going to do this other thing that implies that the government's going to round people up, put them in camps, do terrible things to them.
Well, then if they don't, then it's not a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal because any time law enforcement or military decides that they don't like certain orders that they're given down, and who knows what a person who already thinks that people are going to get rounded up in FEMA camps is going to think about any order that comes down, that these are life or death situations for people.
Question authority. Question authority. You know, that's one thing I remember. I was a libertarian science fiction writer named L. Neil Smith, and he had in one of his books, it says something like this. It goes, question authority. Heck, I say tie it up by its wrist and cut off its fingers and toes and let it drip dry. You know, so you know, yeah, some of us get a little harder. Well, you know, when we come back, I want to finish up on that one point that I was making about when my daughter asked me about Southern Poverty Law Center, and I'll put on here so I don't forget. And got it. And when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, we're all going to understand each other. We may not agree with each other, but, you know, we'll understand each other. That's my goal. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Constant sorrow. Yeah, we got some Southern singing for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Heidi Byrick, your special director, special project for the Southern Poverty Law Center. I thought I'd make you feel at home and do some singing. How you doing with that, Heidi? Yeah, I get you come in with me. You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I got out while I was thinking about it, I was talking to my daughter, and she was asking about this, and she goes, well, is, you know, there's still racism and so on. Are they, you know, what? And I go, well, yeah, you know, probably immigrants is not really as much focused on a black thing now and so on, but and she's asking questions and we're talking and so on. I said, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Heidi. I go, they believe that being anti-government is racist because we have a black president.
We believe that?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I think some people who are anti-government believe that. I think we're on record saying the vast majority of the Patriot folks and obviously the Tea Parties and so on do not harbor those views. So, I mean, that's not something we're saying. There are people, right? I mean, we've seen people, like the guy who runs teapotty.org was found at a rally, I can't remember when, holding a sign calling Obama the N-word. So there are examples of people doing racist stuff. There was, I don't know if it was a Tea Party or Patriot event down in Florida where people showed Obama's a witch doctor and a really racist thing. But, you know, these are, you know, individual examples, right? I'm not saying that at all about
Yeah,
about
you know
the
that, I know the graphic that you're talking about, and it has Obama depicted as like a witch doctor sitting down saying Obamacare. And
right.
and there's editors have used that on Freedom's Phoenix, and people are, well, that's, you know, I'm going, it's funny. I mean, you know, as racist as, I mean, I got, you know, you wouldn't believe all the stuff we got on Bush. I mean, you know, he's Darth Vader, you know, so I'm, you know, so yeah, I know some people have different sensitivities and so on, but you know, let freedom ring, let them all have their say. But the thing that I'm really focusing on here with you is that, I want to make sure that we're consistent, and there are people that have, you know, this morning I had Bob Levy on. He is an attorney that argued the Heller case in Washington, D.C., you know, the gun rights case,
right, yeah.
And he's the one that brought that up. And he didn't even go, he's a successful businessman and so on, he didn't even start going to law school till he was 50 years old.
Wow, mid-career change, good
he
for
did
him.
It, no, he did it for, he already made his money, he's good, he's part of Cato, he did it for one reason, so he could challenge the man in court. And that was his activism. And he wanted to go save the Republic by he's going to go to court. So he started taking on these controversial issues like this on the side of what he perceived to be freedom. So he's talking about, and I'm explaining to him, I'm going, Bob, you know, I don't think you understand. You're 68, 69. I'm 49. And all these revolutionary kids, they're in their early 20s and so on average. And I go, they don't believe in the same government that you do. They're, you know, they're the government. What's that? I mean, I just went to Pork Fest, which is a big campout thing in for the Free State Project. And these guys are proud libertarian anarchist. I don't need no stinking government ruling over me. It's not like they want to go get join a militia and let's go take it over. They just want to let it die a stinking coughing up blood death. Just stay clear of the tail and wait until, you know, they'll rebuild after. You know, they're not for replacing this government. They're just for ignoring it. You know, is that bad?
I mean, I have no truck with anarchists. I mean, look, we're going to write about people if they start committing acts of violence, right? So we write about the Animal Liberation Front and the Earth Liberation Front when they blow stuff up, when they come close to harming people. We're going to write about them, right? We're going to, you know, and so if we've got anarchists out there who are hurting people, and I can't think of a recent incident like that, but of course in the 60s we had a lot of that kind of stuff coming from the left. If they're going to, if they step to
yeah,
that
they
level,
were FBI agents.
Concern,
they were, they were FBI agents. Half the time you have any of this stuff, it's agent provocateurs that gets a government paycheck.
The FBI was in the Symbionese Liberation Army.
You know what I mean, Heidi. Come on. You know what I mean.
So, I mean, you know, otherwise, why, you know, that's fine. You know, that's, you know, if you don't like the government, you don't want it to exist, that's fine. Now, I don't know that you have to get paranoid about weird conspiracies. I know you and I disagree on this, having to do with FEMA camp and other kinds of things like that, because some people, when they get ginned up on these conspiracies about what the government's going to do, they do violent things. And
it's called self-defense.
Well, it's not self-defense to blow things up. You know,
well,
it's self-defense maybe to get weapons or whatever, right? But, you know, some of these people like McVeigh and whatnot, who was motivated both by anti-government views and racism, you know, that was a tragedy. That was scary. You can't want that either, right?
You know, I of course not. I don't want, you know, innocent lives harmed. And I even, you know, your enemy, you're better off just letting them be their own worst enemy. You know, you know, like Oklahoma City, you bring that up, and I'm telling you, as time goes on, we're going to find out it's not what the government said, just like 9/11. You know?
McVeigh took credit for it. Come on, man.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not going to come out that it happened the way they said.
Okay, tell me again, Ernie, how you think it happened.
I do not think that the explosive in an AMFO detonation in a Ryder truck inside severed those columns inside the McMurrow building.
Do you think McVeigh did drive the van in there with the AMFO bomb in it?
Don't know, don't care. You know, one thing I do know, there's a gentleman named Rick Chereau, which was a BATF explosive expert, that he was testifying against the government for some British subjects with the British government suing as part of the lawsuit in a British citizen suing here in the United States on wrongful death in Waco. He was an expert witness for them. And he used to work for the BATF and left because he knew they had gone rogue. He's like, oh, man, I'm so out of here. He happened to live in Phoenix, and he gave speeches at our Libertarian Party headquarters back in 94. And he said, look, this is what's happened to them. And then later when the McMurrow building happened and so on, he would go around. He had to wear a beard, and he went into hiding. He moved in relatives before he testified before Congress. He was going, look, man, this is what they said happened did not happen. This is my job. That's what I do.
And, but why do you believe him over McVeigh?
He didn't say anything about whether McVeigh did it or not.
I'm saying, why do you say I don't know and I don't care about McVeigh and his bomb and whatnot? Why do you choose to believe this guy?
Physics.
And not... Okay.
No, it had nothing to do with who was driving the van. It's what happened to concrete and steel. It's the same thing with the World Trade Center. You know, we got architects and engineers going around saying, look, man, let me guess, who would know what's going on? The 9/11 commission report, that's a bunch of politicians that later two congressmen came out and said, oh, yeah, what we said there didn't matter anyway because we were lying, and nobody ever reports that. And then they go, you know, Building 7, what was that? Didn't even mention a word of it in 9/11 Commission. Here's architects and engineers coming out and saying, look, we did, you know, it definitely didn't happen this way, and we have evidence of this. And it's always ignored by organizations just like yours because you're in support of the government being right. And I'm going, I'm just looking for the truth. I don't care who said it. I don't care how many swastikas they got on their arm. I'll let them have their say. A lot of times they're full of it, but that's not the point. I just want to be able to make up my own mind. And I keep having people saying I can't. I got Obama coming out. We need a kill switch for the internet. What are you going to say about that?
I just don't goes, I find the whole thing ridiculous, Ernie. You're going to get so mad at me.
Kill switch? Kill switch? They introduced the legislation. Biden's talking about. Pelosi is advocating it. What, you didn't recognize this?
I think it's the same overblown theories about the government.
They should have a kill switch, and it's not that big a deal. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. I haven't seen legislation. I've seen it pop up on right-wing websites, so I don't know the actual facts. So I can't.
Are you kidding me? I put it on Freedom's Phoenix from Raw Story.
But I see this thing with the FEMA camps is twisted from innocuous language about emergency situations into this huge government plot. And I'm not saying that's true on the kill switch, you know. I'd have to look. But I see that these innocuous things become twisted out of all proportion. You know, like this crazy idea that some kind of North American Union is coming down the pike because one academic proposed something having to do with currency union. And it has nothing to do with the actual facts of what the U.S., Mexico, and Canada are doing.
You know, my thing, Heidi, is that I'm going, you know, they keep going Amero, North American Union, blah, blah, blah. I go, Amero, are you kidding me? They're going straight to the world, though. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, the IMF, they're doing it right now. They're calling it credit default certificate, blah, blah, whatever the heck the name they keep coming up with it. And you keep hearing this word. We were talking about it yesterday. Quantitative easing. Quantitative easing. That sounds quantitative. I mean, I'm going, what the heck does that mean? I look it up. You know what it means? It means printing money. They just and they're going to go to a world currency. So you're saying, and then when they do it, you'll go, well, it was a conspiracy right up until they did it. I mean, what are you saying?
I just don't believe it. I don't believe they're going to do any of
that. So what happens when they do? Then what?
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't believe it. I mean, my God, the European Union to get your euro thing struggled for decades with nationalistic infighting where, you know, it doesn't matter where you fall and whether the euro should have happened or not. But and Lord knows that the situation with Greece and whatnot has shown that maybe not everybody should be doing that. So I just don't believe it, Ernie.
This is the one thing that's interesting to me. The Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups would say, oh, you conspiracy crazy, you wacko. Like John Birchers. John Birchers, man. Boy, they come out with some crazy stuff. But it's 10, 15 years later, and everything they said happened. And I'm going, so why would I listen to you more than I would these people that you said were wrong before turned out to be right? I'm just wondering. We'll come out with some other good stuff from Heidi Byrick. I want to talk more about this green hating, you know, because she and I agree on this one. We see it coming. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It just ain't the same. Always a change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs. Chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the love, y'all?
Still forgetting people dying, children hurting.
Yeah, you hear the children crying. Where's the love? You can't have love without truth. You can't have trust without truth. I want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. Tell me the truth. I want the truth. Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center is going to help me find some truth. Now, let me tell you where I want to look for some truth. There is an effort to use environmentalism as a method of opposing illegal immigrants in this country. They are poisoning the very air that we breathe because of fill in the blank. Okay. This is, you named a gentleman that I wanted to go a little bit more into before I lose you. And I wanted to make sure you gave me that gentleman's name, what organizations that you know off the top of your head, and where he came from.
John Tanton, you're talking about that I mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
John Tanton is the founder, actually probably co-founder, of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIRS, what's usually called, the founder of the Center for Immigration Studies, the founder of Pro-English, the funder of about 10 or 12 other anti-immigration organizations. He has his own anti-immigration journal called The Social Contract. He sits right at the center. We've called him the puppeteer of the nativist movement. Of the
Well, where does he get his money? How much money does he have? What did he do
he
for a living?
He made very close allies with some big-time, very wealthy people, like a woman named Cordelia Scaife May of the Scaife banking fortune. And these were people, she in particular also didn't like immigrants, thought they were polluting our culture, basically, and she gave him a lot of money to pursue these things. He's got like a handful of funders that back all of his work. People
okay, so him. Here's somebody that's directing this effort and has access to money, and here
yes.
they go.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
Now, I understand this, and I say, you know, peace be upon you, and advocate and do whatever you want, and rock on, and the Internet. A lot of times, I'll tell you what happens. These people do not understand the power of peer-to-peer communication, instantaneous communication in the Internet. They think they do, and they'll use it to forward whatever it is that they want, but they can just as easily and even more cheaply be used to oppose them or to out them or to make sure people understand you actually really get down to the facts of whatever the issue is. So I can see that happening with the young people. They're just like, am I allowed not to care if this person's from this border, this government, this thing that you're doing just doesn't apply to me. I don't care. I can hit Google Translator on Freedom's Phoenix. You go to the translate button at the top right, the entire site translates into Spanish. Every link you go to from then on will be in Spanish. You can do Russian, Italian, German, French. I mean, you know, heck, we'll get Apache as soon as it comes up. I mean, you know, so I'm, you know, I'm just like, these young people do not see the pollution of the culture like they do. They see pollution of our culture being the kind of things that they would advocate against freedom. They're looking for a culture of freedom and tolerance and love and no coercion. And they're going, no, we need to use the power and force of government to coerce people to behave the way that we want them to. And if you do that in a different way for a different reason, then you're just the same as them, just a different version of it, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm just, you understand my point though, right?
Well, I mean, I don't think we're, you know, we just write, Ernie. We're not, you know, coercing anybody to anything, right? People have a gazillion opinions about them, some of them very, very negative, to some positive. But we're exercising freedom of speech just like you are. And I think you're right about young people. I think the issues, they're far more tolerant on things like racism and whatnot. I've talked to a lot of young people lately who are very angered about all of these bank bailouts, as, you know, I am personally and others are, both from the left and the right. And I think they're concerned about the government in that way.
Yeah, but you would bail out healthcare
like a FEMA camp way.
Yeah, but you would bail out, you know, people without healthcare. I mean, you would use the money to go to.
I would.
You know,
I mean, I have some basic moral principles, and they have to do with things like people shouldn't die because they don't have money.
It's not any different, though. The whole principle is you're taking from someone against their will and redistributing it to someone else.
That's why I'm not a radical libertarian like
okay.
you.
Okay, I just want to make sure you understand we're consistently,
I'm not,
you know,
I
whatever.
I couldn't leave someone to die on the sidewalk because okay. they failed to be successful financially.
I'm with you, sister. In fact, we advocate for having the ability to be able to help those in need, just not somebody, Heidi, coming up and put a 45 to my head and saying, I'm taking your money to go give it to this
yeah,
guy
but
that
Ernie,
I think needs it.
The problem is we tried that before the Great Depression, and for all the charity that happened, people were left destitute and not enough people gave.
You know,
what do
worked,
you do then?
Oh, what do you do when you have this kind of system that you're supporting that put us to where we are right now in the middle of a depression? And you're
like
not
to think
able
that it's
to
the
help
GOP
people.
That put us in the middle of a depression.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're you know, right. You're confusing me with someone that thinks there's a difference between the elephants and donkeys. You know, you got you know Dumbo or Jackass, and you're just a dumbass. I mean, you know what's the difference? You know, so I'm no. So here we have the day of. I wanted to bring this up before you went.
Okay.
The day of the signing of the SB 1070. That day, there was an Hispanic gentleman that's a commercial truck driver, and he was in his late 20s, I think, or so. He's in the East Valley out here on the highway. He gets pulled over in a weigh station. You know, he's a commercial truck driver. He pulls his truck over. He's gives him his papers and has all his stuff and everything, commercial driver's licenses, invoices and such. And they go, got your birth certificate on you?
Really?
Like, hell yeah. And he goes,
so it
what?
Already started before they even... The law even was enacted,
yeah,
right?
No. The day it passes, like a month and a half, 2 months ago. The day they signed it, okay? So, I can't believe you guys didn't know this. This is good.
No, I did know that.
Oh, this is all over the news and everything. We're having all kinds of good time with this, okay? This is what happens. He goes in and he says, well, no, I got, and he has a little bit of an accent, okay? So they're like, oh, man, we got us a goodie here. Yum, 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 yum. Even though he had a commercial driver's license. They go, well, we suspect you to be, you know, where's your mom? Well, my mom lives in Mexico and, you know, this, you know, what? What do you care? And they go, oh, you're driving around while Brown get on the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. They arrest him. They take him down to the INS facility here in Phoenix. He finally gets a phone call to his wife that goes to Maricopa, which is like an hour south of Phoenix. She goes and gets his birth certificate and hers because she's afraid, comes up, finds out he's born in Fresno, California. They let him go. No apology, no nothing. Just, you know, hey, man, you driving around Ralph Brown and didn't talk English none too good or something. Mm-hmm. So it already started. So they have, you know, papers. Having a commercial driver's license wasn't good enough. And, you know, heck, I'd be lucky to find my birth certificate, you know. So I'm going, you know, this is bad. So what's the argument? Then we have the sheriff going to maternity hospitals, checking Brown people, you know, see how brown your baby is. I mean, come on.
You got, well, you should have Arpaio on and talk to him about it.
Oh, no, he won't come on anymore. No, really? No. I've known Joe for a long time, since 92. He and I, man, I call him, I got his cell phone number. I mean, you know, it's, you know, he and I, you know, we're tight. He's the one that told me I was on your all's list back in 94. So, you
well,
know.
Well, that's what I'm saying then.
Well, no, he's his own worst enemy. They go, Ernie, you need to, there was a threat that I might run against him, and I think it was 04, and, or 2, whatever it was. And they go, you know, are you going to run against him? I go, are you kidding me? I need him to be there all by his lonesome. He's my, he's a poster child for fascism. You know, I go, you know, I want to have somebody that's going to be nice. No, if you're against the abuses of government, it's good to have poster children.
Well, it's not good to have poster children if you're the guy who's driving the truck, man. You throw
yeah, no, I'm, well, I'm hip. I, you know, I have another agenda. You know, my agenda is taking advantage. I'm an opportunist. I point out these things, just like the kind of hypocrisy that I see, even from you know, Southern Poverty Law Center, or I see it from groups on the right. I see it from, heck, even Campaign for Liberty does something stupid. I'm all over it. As you know, I'm just, look, I want to see consistency. I want to see an advocate. You know, I don't mind a difference of opinion, and I don't try to get you to agree with me, Heidi, or anybody else, or the audience, or anybody to agree with me. I just want them to understand me. Understand, I don't want to convince them to agree with me. I just want them to understand why I'm so convinced. I go, this is the criteria that I use to come up with this decision. What criteria do you have? What information do you have? Tell me about what your opinion is and why. Well, I don't know. If it doesn't stack up, guess who wins? I win. No. You know, so the thing is that I'm looking at, give me your thing on the British Petroleum Gulf oil deal and how Obama's going to fare on this one.
I don't know. I just got to tell you, Ernie, living down here in the Gulf, it's just really, really sad.
It is a lot worse. Last week I was on vacation, and the only thing that I really spent any time on other than just checking the site is I took the time to read and look at a lot of YouTubes and interviews and so on of what was going on in the Gulf with this oil spill. Right. And I'll tell you one thing that Southern Poverty Law Center should be all over is them eliminating alternative media or any media covering it.
I agree with that, Ernie.
Can I get an amen from you? You know, we need to open up the First Amendment floodgates and the information. Come on, give me an amen, Heidi.
All right, next time, Ernie.
All right,
bye.
Thanks, Heidi. You know, the one thing that I want to make sure that we all understand is that we need to understand each other. Agreeing with each other, you know, that'll come, you know, it'll all wash out in the end. Because things are going to happen. All the conspiracies and so on that Heidi says, oh, that'll never happen. I heard from the Southern Poverty Law Center 15 years ago about all the stuff that wasn't going to happen. That happened. Now what? Now what? Now what? Oh. Well, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to read something to you when we come back. And it'll be a long read, but it's going to be very interesting. You stay right there. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.